Truly, God is moving in just a miraculous way, and we thank him for what he is doing. You know, on last Sunday, we talked about ministry and membership in ministry, that it matters. That being a part of a growing body of Christ matters in the life of a believer. Well, on this Sunday, we're going to talk about why it matters. Why does it matter? Because God has blessed the membership so that as a body, you heard Stephanie say it earlier, as a body, we can engage in ministry through our service. Now, I need you to help me just for a moment. Nudge your neighbor just for a moment. Just nudge him. Say he's talking to you. Yeah. God has called us into service. In fact, in your worship folder, you'll see a handout there that we are hoping that you will complete before the end of our worship time together, called It's Your Service. Right there in your hand, that handout right there in your worship folder, it looks just like this. You should see it there. It will give you an opportunity to write in and to respond to opportunities all around our church family for your service. Because God has blessed us, he's blessed us to serve. And with that message title in our minds, I want to invite your attention to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians, particularly the second chapter. The book of Ephesians, the second chapter, is where our message for the morning is coming from, as we consider with the help of the Holy Spirit that it's our serve. It's your serve. It's our time to serve. I hope you made your way there. And second chapter of Ephesians, particularly, we'll be looking together beginning at that eighth verse. But just before we get into it, I'm looking at Sonia, who's out there. You may not know who Sonia is, but I'm going to introduce her to you in a moment. I'm looking at Sonia out there because I was just given this nice gift. You see, I had to come and show it off. You know this is a nice gift, right? For me, this tells me. Don't you like receiving gifts? Okay, I need to talk to some real people in here. Anybody like receiving gifts? Okay, they sound a little louder, so I'm gonna be on this side for a moment here. Yeah, I enjoy receiving gifts. It's not hearing my grandma fussing at me, telling me that I'm not supposed to put this on in church, so I'm about to take it off. But I enjoy receiving gifts, and this gift was personalized. This gift tells me that it was for me. If they'd have came with a baseball cap, you know, I'd have accepted it as a pastor. I would have. You probably wouldn't see it, but I'd accept it. But this fedora. Oh yeah, you had me on your mind. You're thinking about me. And whenever the Lord leads you, please think about me. but she gave me this gift, and I thought, how appropriate, because as I was on my way here from where we have our life groups in that area, I was enjoying all of the blessing, Brother Al, of the sunshine that God was giving us. And when I got in the building, I was handed a gift. A gift that was so appropriate for my specific need. So appropriate and so stylishly specific. It's a gift that I could use. A gift that would protect me as I continue on. And how appropriate? Because all of us who have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. All of us who have been gripped by grace to know God personally has received that gift. You're not with me just yet. Let me help you understand something. That when you know God personally, Matthew, then God gives you the gift of salvation. I hope you have your Bibles open, because with that in mind, I really want you to hear the text. Because God's word declares, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. Why don't you repeat that for me? Say, this is not your own doing. No, this is not your own doing. It is a gift, there it is, of God. Not a result of work, so that no one may boast. That salvation, being rescued from the treacherous waters of sin into the lavish love of Christ, salvation is a gift from God. It's a gift that redeems us and rescues us from where our sin would have us to be, and that's an eternal separation from God. Did I tell you salvation's a gift? It's the kind of gift, if you don't mind, some old school people here, it's the kind of gift that keeps on. I knew some of you were in here. The kind of gift that keeps on giving. That every day you can wake up when you know God. Every day you can wake up when you have a personal relationship with God, and you can say like the psalmist, this is the day that the Lord has made. And regardless of what I went through in the week, or regardless of what I went through this month, I will rejoice and be. I knew you knew Bible up in here. That's why I love this congregation. And you'd be glad in it. Why? Because we know that we have something special in a relationship with God. It's a special gift that he gives us. And notice the text. It says that we are saved by, you got it there, by grace, by God's favor. Because the truth is, brothers and sisters, our God alone grants us the security of salvation. I hope you understand this thing. That our God does it, and then he sets us apart. He sets us apart for what I call customized good works. That God alone saves us. If I was sitting right next to you, I'd write that down for a moment so you wouldn't forget it, because just in case you thought that you had to work for it. No, the work was already done at Calvary. God alone saves us. That God saw us at our point of need, and in our point of need, Dr. Austin, what he did was he didn't wait for us to call on him. He came in response to our need, and he met the need by shedding his own blood on Calvary's cross, that when we call on the name of Jesus, the Bible says, Tyrone, we shall be saved. You're looking at me like you. I see it. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're right. You know, some people think they deserve that gift. Mm-hmm, yeah, you know, I'm not going to look at our young people right now, because I like our young people. I do. I like our teenagers. I want to have all the energy that they have. I really do. I want to have what they have. But not ours. But there are some people when you give them a gift, they don't respond in gratitude. Some kinds of people, they don't respond in gratitude because they think that they are owed a gift. Mm-hmm. What's that word we use called I knew you knew it. I got an edumacated congregation. I knew you. Entitlement, that I'm supposed to receive it. But when you understand the state of immoral humanity, you understand that what we supposed to receive because of sin is death. Oh, I'm sorry. Just in case you think I'm not talking about you, and I'm in the camp too, because the Bible says all have, boy, I told you, you know it, and fallen short of the glory of God. We didn't deserve to be saved. We deserved death, but God in his love, I came to preach word, is the truth in here. In his love, he saw us in our situation, and by grace, he saved us. Anybody grateful for salvation up in here? Anybody grateful that when the world says you didn't deserve to be here, God didn't give up on you? Hold on. When your activities and your actions counted you out, God still stepped in to rescue you. Anybody besides me grateful that God looked beyond our faults and saw our needs and said, you know what, that one right there, that's going to be my child, and he saved you. Read the text here. For by grace you are saved through faith. And this is not of our own doings. It's the gift of God. Listen, our salvation is a gift from God. It's the kind of gift we should never get tired celebrating. It's the kind of gift that we should never stop being grateful for. That God would receive us as a part of his family. And if you have not received the gift of salvation, today may be the day where God is offering that same gift to you. It says, whosoever will, let him come. I know you do, and God loves you too. Loves you so much that the offer of salvation is still on the table for you. Loves you so much that he says, if you come to me, I'll forgive you of your sins. I'll cleanse you from your unrighteousness. You're not catching it just yet. He says, I'll wash you thoroughly from your sins. I'll exonerate you. I'll make it as though it never happened again. He says, I love you so much that when you come to me, I'll give you life. That's the gift of salvation. But he didn't stop there. And here's the major part of our text. He says, by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It's a gift from God, not a result of works. And then he tells you why, because this one here, you can't take credit for. Salvation, you can't take credit for it. But I'm okay with that because, you know, Anthony, I get a lot of encouragement by that phrase right there, that you can't boast. I get a lot of encouragement by that because that tells me if I couldn't do enough works to get it, that since I got it, I can't do anything to lose it. I told you I'm preaching Bible up in here. That is the kind of gift that's an eternal gift. It's a gift of salvation that comes from God. But notice the why. He says, verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. You see it right there? So it says those who have been gripped by grace, those who receive the gift of salvation from God that only comes from God alone. He says, yeah, listen up. The writer, Holy Spirit here is speaking to Ephesian saints and everybody who's a believer up in here. He says, listen up now that you believers, those who confess Christ as their Savior, you are God's workmanship. Let's press his claim for a moment here. He says, you're God's canvas that he's painting his masterpiece on. You're not catching it just yet here. You are a testament of God's grace. You see, this is why you got to help people, because sometimes you forget where God brought you from. Sometimes we forget just how good God has been to us. You know, saints of old back in the day, you say, he woke me up this morning. That's enough for me to celebrate him right there. But if you had the kind of week that caused you to lose your mind, they would say, he kept me in my right mind. That's enough to praise him and thank him right there. Get this. You are God's project. He is working on you. I grew up in Baptist churches, so right there, if I was back in my grandma's church, I'd say, please be patient with me. God isn't through with me. I knew somebody knew that. God isn't through with me. You know, if you've been on our campus anytime, you realize there's some construction that is happening on our campus. And I saw a sign on our chapel that's being renovated, and just so grateful what God is going to be doing through that space. But I saw a sign on that chapel, and it said something like, work in. I think that ought to be tattooed. I think that ought to be hung around all of our necks. Let me talk to some real people up in here. Because truth is that you are, when people see you, I tell them, I'm just a work in progress. I'm God's workmanship. That anytime you see me, if you knew me before I knew him, I tell you what, and you see me now, you realize that I'm a work in progress. Boy, I wish I had some people over here who knew. That when you just think back a little bit, what God has taken you from and all that he's taken you through, you ought to be able to tell the truth up in here and say, you know what? All I am is because of the grace of God. Where I am is because of the grace of God. And you know what? Had it not been for the Lord who was on my side, Candace, I don't know where I would be. I'm a work in progress. You are God's workmanship. But hold on, because when you read that text there, I'm a work in progress, in case you don't know it, this also says that you're a piece of work. Craig, I'm going to look at friends right now, because some folk, we forget just how messed up sin had all of us. But what, isn't it beautiful that God doesn't stop working on you? That every day, we call it sanctification in theological circles, every day God keeps on working on you. He is fashioning you. He hasn't given up on you. His hand hasn't left you. That's why he told his disciples, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you, says the Lord. You're a piece of work, but guess what? You're not too much hard work for God. He says you're his workmanship. But you were created in Christ. You know that any man or woman in Christ is a new creation. You are created in Christ for good works. Do you see it there? That not only has he gifted us with salvation and he's working on us, but our work with God is preselected by God. Come here, I need to help you understand this. That when God saves us, he saves us for service. You're not feeling me just yet. Let me see if I can help you see this thing. That he doesn't just save us in our knowledge of him, but there's something he has for us to do from our point of salvation for his glory. That salvation is the fruit and service is the root. That God has saved us to serve. I guess the best way to illustrate that is to ask if has anybody in here been in the service? I got one person been in the service. I'm asking it a little slower and a little louder. No. Has anyone had any military experience in the house? Could all of all of those who've served in the military, would you please stand? Those who served in any capacity in the military, would you please stand? Help me thank God for those who've served. Now, if you understood something, and we thank God for your service and all that you've written, if you understood something about the men and women who are standing, notice that I didn't have to beg them to stand. Notice I didn't have to try and convince them to stand. No, because something happens in the service. See, when you're in the service, you learn how to respond to. Boy, you say that one more time. Boy, you almost had me jump off the stage. You learn how to respond to the orders that are given. Come here, I'm trying to help you understand something. Because sometimes in the body of Christ, we get this thing twisted as though the service that God has for us is to be handpicked by us. You know, it'd be something that I'm comfortable with or something that I feel like I'm qualified for. Here's the deal, that if God called you to it, he's going to anoint you and ordain you to do it. That anything God calls you to, he'll equip you to do it, but you got to be willing to trust him. And our service is not for our comfort or convenience. Our service is preselected by him. I'm talking real talk now, because when God blesses you to be a part of the body, God blesses you to be a part of service. And everything we need for the work of this body, Champion Forward Baptist Church here in Georgia Village, is found in the body. So if you're not serving, get to serving. baby, is that good grammar? She's an English major. I need to make sure I said it just right. By the end of the message, I want you to hear it, that God is calling all of us to understand that when God saved you, he already knew what he was calling you to do. When God called you, when God fashioned you, when God works on you, he already knows what it is he's calling you to do. And I can tell you one thing with all assurance. He did not call you to sit and soak. You thought I was just talking to them, huh? Yeah, No. He didn't just call us to come here and dine on the word of God and there's no fruit or no outcome. No, he called us to serve for his glory. Because some people will never know God if God's children don't serve God. You know, back in there, we used to call this a worship service. Because this is where we used to get equipped to go out and... But it starts in the house, because even in the house, we need to learn how to serve one another. So the good works that he has before us and our obedience to this good works, it matters. I hope you can close your Bible. For he says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in. Pastor George, one of the sports that I don't like to play, I like to watch. Is that of tennis. One of the sports I like to watch is that of tennis, and there's this one sister who is just dominating the game in women's tennis. She must be kin to you, Anthony. What's her name? Serena. Yeah. Serena Williams dominating the game in tennis. Austin and I were talking about this a few weeks back. How we just avid, because we like to see just all the work that went in, and what she's known for is her serve. She's known for a serve, because her serve is just unlike any other in the game. But anybody in here ever watched? You even know who I'm talking about? Yeah. I just want to make sure. You know, I'm reading faces, trying to figure out if you're still in here with me. She's known for her serve, and if you ever watch her serve, one thing is pointed about her serve is that she puts everything in it. When she throws the ball up and gets ready for a serve, I can't tell you how she lowered her posture and she bends her knees and she twists. I can't tell you all the mechanics, but what I can tell you is that whenever she makes contact with the ball, everything that's in her is expressed through that ball. Come here, I'm trying to help you understand something. That when God has gripped you by grace and saved you, and you know that salvation is a gift from God, then everything that's in you, every part of you, everywhere you go, everything you say, everything you think, ought to be an expression of service back to him. That all of you, all of us, every part of us, God has gifted to serve. So let's get practical for a moment, because if we're going to serve in good works, and these good works that are in the text are the kind of works that give God glory, but don't miss it, it's the kind of work that's preselected by God for God's children to give God glory. All right? Sometimes those good works will make you feel uncomfortable. Any child care workers in here? Sometimes the good works will not always be what you prefer to do. But when you're serving in obedience, you can celebrate it, because you know that God rewards obedience. So let's get practical for a moment, because in service, brothers and sisters, you have to discover your gift for serving. Look with me in Romans chapter 12. Bible says in Romans chapter 12, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Here it is. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, then let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, then let him serve. If it's teaching, then let him teach. If it's encouraging, then let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, then let him give generously. If it's leadership, then let him govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, then let him do it cheerfully. But don't miss it. Each person who makes up the body of Christ has a gift. Come on, help me preach for a moment. Just turn to somebody and say, do you know your gift? If they kept looking at me and didn't respond to you, that might be an indication they don't know. But good news, because we have what we call a spiritual gift assessment that's available for everyone to help us discover the gifts that God has placed within us. And you can find that on our church website at www.championforest.org/spiritual gifts. You ought to take it so that you yourself can discover the gifts that God has placed within you, because you know that God has given a gift to everyone who accepts and follows him. So I want you to discover your spiritual gift. But secondly, brothers and sisters, if we're going to be ready for serve, to be ready for service and to be ready to serve, we got to discover God's place for our service. Because remember, it is he who has foreordained where we're going to serve. That means we got to get close to God and ask the Lord, where will you have me serve? I got a practical illustration for you right now, because sometimes God will place you in a seat of service, that he'll sit you right next to a person who's your ministry assignment. You ever been there before? Where you are having, no, y'all don't have that. You ever had a bad day? You had one of those days where just things were just, everything that could go wrong. Well, you ever had a day like that? And then somebody who you least expect came into your world, into your day, and gave you the exact word that God would have for you to have in that moment, and it lightened your spirits and lifted your burdens. I see you, man. I knew, because at your age, you have bad days too, huh? Yeah. How old is he? Seven years old. You've had some bad days, but you got home after school, and all of a sudden your day was lifted. Come here. Every now and then, God will assign you, and you got to seek him to say, hey, God, what do you have for me to do today? Who do you have for me to bless today? Because if you are a child of God, God has gifted you with a spiritual gift, and that gift ought to make a difference in this body. Yeah, he's gifted you. He's gifted you a spiritual gift. And we have to discover our spiritual gift. Why? Because it's essential. It's essential. And as I hurry on, thirdly, if you're going to put this into practice, you have to determine to serve fully and faithfully, because God has empowered you to do so. Look with me at 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, 10 through 11 verse, it says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. How? Oh, you close your Bible. Let me try this again. 1 Peter, 4th chapter, 10 through 11 verse, each one of us should use whatever gift we have received to serve others faithfully, administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. God revealed this to me the other day, Curtis, because every now and then someone asks me, as they are looking for employment, they ask me to do a certain thing for them. It is revealed to me, because if you ever applied for a job or applied for a school program, every now and then you'll find a leader and you'll ask them to fill out a recommendation for you. We call them your references. There's a reason why we ought to determine to use our gifts faithfully and fully. Because as children of God, when we use our gifts, we are saying good things about God. Let me come back and help you understand this thing. That when you ask somebody to fill out a reference for you, what you're really asking them to do is that when somebody calls you about the job that I can do, I want you to say good things about me. You ever asked somebody to fill out a recommendation for you? You know, you got to be careful, Tyrone, who you ask. I'm teaching you practical things, and you know this. You got to be careful who you ask, because if you ask the wrong person, then they might say the wrong thing on your reference, and they won't even talk about you. But if you got the right person who knows you, when somebody calls them as a reference, then that person will take all the good attributes about you. You're looking at me like you hadn't applied for a job in a while. Let me, you ought to thank God for that too, but here it is. God wants to know, can he use his children as a reference? He wants to know when you go out and you serve, can he use you as a reference? So when other people ask about why is it that you're serving the way you're serving, and why is it that you're giving the way you're giving, and why is it that you're doing what you're doing, you could tell them about the God who saves you. You could tell them about the God who redeems you. You could tell them the reason I still have joy, unspeakable, full of glory, is because of God who keeps on giving to me. Yeah. You are determined to use it fully and faithfully. And so here's your opportunity. Because I know you are not only a Bible literate kind of congregation. I know you are a new school congregation. I'm looking, y'all supposed to say yeah, because I want to make sure I'm right here. I know all of you have cell phones. So I'm going to ask for you to take your cell phone out right now. Take your cell phones out. No, don't text nobody just yet. Don't check the time, but you already did it, so it's all right. Take your cell phone out. Because today you have an opportunity as a body of Christ to do what God has called us to do. And that is to sign up to serve. We call it text to serve. Ricky, if you could pull that graphic up, there it is, text to serve, because there are needs in the congregation that God has gifted you for good works here among the believers. And what you see there are some of the areas that we have need of service. Preschool and kids ministry. In fact, I know for preschool right now, in our kids ministry, we need at least 10 more volunteers. Wait a minute, Pastor. I don't know about dealing with other folk children. Didn't I just read that he created you in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand? Which means he didn't ask you your opinion on the matter. But please take your spiritual gift assessment, because I don't need anybody who's not gifted to be there to be there, all right? But truly here, we have these needs. I want to encourage you right now to text to serve. Here it is. In preschool, we have needs. In children's ministry, we have needs. In student ministry, we have needs. We have needs in prayer ministry. All the ministries listed there, there are needs for people, you, to serve. There are opportunities to serve, because there is a blessing in service. And as you see those needs there, I want to encourage you to push past procrastination. Right now, I want to encourage you to seek out these opportunities. I want to encourage you to overcome obstacles that's preventing you from service. I want to encourage you. What you put your cell phone up for? No. You see, you text one at a time. So you text in preschool because you're going to serve there. Text preschool and then come back and text student because, you know, you can do more than one thing. You're a multi-faceted kind of congregation. You can do this here. But really, I want to encourage you to push past procrastination, overcome any obstacles, and trust God. And here it is. Try the ministry. Try, and when you feel like giving up, try again. Because God will give you the grace to be a blessing. Because he's already gifted you. And he's gifted you to serve.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.